You are listening to station WGN.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
This is exciting, isn't it?
In 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We have got a great show for you tonight. Comedian Pat McGann will join us in our second half hour to talk about his big shows at the Vic Theater all weekend long. Plus, Dr. Ian Smith will join us to share some tips to reach your weight loss goals for the new year. Now, we only have a one-hour show for you tonight, but tomorrow we're going to play tribute to two Chicago friends that we lost this week. I'll share conversations with Pat Brickhouse, wife of WGN sports icon Jack Brickhouse, and Chicago children's TV legend Bill Jackson. It all starts tomorrow afternoon at 1. Valerie Bertinelli has been in the public eye for nearly a half a century, starring in hit TV shows One Day at a Time, Touched by an Angel, Hot in Cleveland, hosting an Emmy Award-winning Food Network program, Valerie's Home Cooking, and writing best-selling books. Behind the curtain of her on-screen persona, Valerie's life has not been an easy ride, especially when it comes to her own self-image and self-worth. In her new book, Enough Already, written right after the death of her first husband, Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Eddie Van Halen, she writes all about the futility of finding happiness, learning to love herself the way she is today, and tips for a healthier outlook on life. Here is Valerie Bertinelli.
I spend my whole life working twice as hard to get half the attention.
Half of it? You get all of it with your screaming and your tantrums.
I do not scream to get attention.
No, you just scream. I heard you 2 months before I was born. Why do you think I was late? I was scared to come out.
This is it, this is it. This is life, the one you get. So go and have a ball. This is it, this is it.
And to talk about her new book, Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today, is Valerie Bertinelli. Hi, Valerie.
Hello.
Hello to you. I'm so glad you're joining us today. I will tell you, this book was most likely a pretty cathartic journey to write. You say this book is about letting go of certain behaviors that no longer serves me, recognizing it never did, and trying to find new ways of channeling my thoughts and emotions. It's really about letting go and loving who you are right now, isn't it?
It is, and I'm hoping that that message will embed itself in everybody about themselves, that it really is about letting go and just accepting yourself for who you are, flaws and all. You are perfect just the way you are. I just think if more of us would just accept the good and the bad and the ugly, that we could move on and be more productive as human beings in this world.
No question. And by the way, right after the foreword, you write in so many words before you start reading, go make this snack. And you throw out a recipe, a hot spinach and crab dip. And it made me laugh. I was like, okay, I'll go make a snack before I get started. It's a big part of what you're doing.
Guess I started off loving food, and I'm not going to not love food any longer just because I don't like the way I have used or abused it in the past. It's still love for me, and I wanted to share some recipes that kind of relate to different stories in the book.
Yeah, but what goes better than with conversation is a little food, right?
Right, of course.
Yeah. You open about talking about your first husband, Eddie Van Halen, stopping by the house to talk to you and actually having some of that dip. And you reflected on that first time you and Ed met and a little about how Wolfie got into music himself. But you talk about the relationship that seemed less complicated after you divorced. Yet in that moment, you wanted to hug him, and when you greeted him, but you really didn't know how. You'd known that Ed's second marriage wasn't going well, neither was yours, but you didn't want to send the wrong message, yet it was something you regretted not doing. Do you find that those types of moments happen a lot, where you second-guess yourself in those situations?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. And I'm here to tell you and help anybody through it that, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated, of course, but also as if you're never going to see them again. We don't know when our last moment is going to be with someone. So I know that I've never regretted hugging someone or telling someone I love them. That's what could be wrong with that? And I know that I have regretted if I haven't done that, if I haven't let someone know how I really feel about them. So I would encourage anybody to really treat people the way you want to be treated, and as if you're not going to see them again.
I like that you say that, because I know you're a hugger, so am I, and it's been hard during the pandemic to not be able to reach out and do that, because it's a sincere form of love and compassion for somebody when you see them. And, you know, when you had invited Eddie to dinner and really wanted it to be different and kind of let everything else go, which is not always easy. You know, this is a situation where you knew time was ticking a little bit, and that's not always the case. You said, you know, you never know when the next time you're going to see somebody, so you might as well embrace that moment as it was. But in this specific situation, you kind of knew you had to spend as much time as you could before he was gone.
True. I sort of knew that, but I wouldn't let myself believe it. I really, truly, naively believed that Ed would get through this. Even when my brother was telling me, no, it's bad, and Wolfie was like, Mom, we don't know how much longer we have. I'm like, that's crazy. Your dad always gets better. Yeah. This is going to be fine. I really believe that. But, and then it just hit me, you know, those last few days, it was like, fuck, this is really bad, and I'm going to miss you, and I wish we had done it better. We'll do it better next time, and... Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah, you know, and I know he confided in you, but you really wanted to make sure he knew you were there for him, and that was really important.
Oh, very important to me, yeah, because I know that he had a lot of regrets about the way he had treated me or Wolfie or any of the things that he had done what he believed was wrong. I just wanted him to know that it's all okay now, that how much I loved him, and I knew how much he loved me. I knew... You know, all the stuff just didn't even matter anymore. All the ways we treat each other. I mean, I know that he was really angry at me for a few years after I left, and I just wanted him to know that it's all good now. It, you know, that's really is water under the bridge. It's not worth holding on to.
But you know as well as I do, there is no marriage, there is no relationship on this planet that's perfect. And if someone leads you to believe that, there's something behind it. There's just no relationship and no marriage that goes through swimmingly.
No. But I think that's what we are as humans. We need to go through hardships so that we can get to the other side of them. We're here to learn. We're here to learn how to be more compassionate, how to be more kind, how to be more grateful. And I think you need to have rough times so that you know how to work through them with as much kindness as you possibly can.
All right, there's more with Valerie Bertinelli after a look at your rush hour traffic and weather. Mary?
Action! Valerie!
I'm coming! I know what action means!
So do I, but it's been so long!
Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Valerie Bertinelli. Her new book is Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today. So I grew up watching you. I mean, we're pretty close to the same age, but you were a very, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times, very early crush in my very early years. And you were America's sweetheart, right? I mean, that's what you were always known as, but that's really a lot of pressure and big words to live up to in the public eye, isn't it?
I'm grateful that I didn't know how big it was. I mean, I'm finding all this out now, which is nice. But we didn't have social media back then, so that I wasn't bombarded with that. I was just doing my job and doing it to the best of my ability. But it's really nice to find out, you know, at this age that I meant something to people.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, through your entire career, you did. I mean, you've done so much. But you mention in the book that nothing is drearier or more unproductive than that well-worn path from my bed to the scale. And it's the rare day that I can avoid that route. I mean, we all do that. And I need someone to put up a detour sign, you write. But that has been an ongoing story and struggle to be that perfect person, right?
Right. And there is no such thing as perfection. As a human being, we can't be perfect. It's, you know, we can strive to be as good as we can possibly be, but there is no perfection. Otherwise, why are we here? But I, when I finished writing the book, I stopped getting on the scale, and I haven't been on the scale since I finished. And surprise, surprise, my jeans still fit, so I haven't, you know, awesome. Changed that much. All I've changed is my attitude, because now I'm not looking at a number that's going to depress me for the rest of the day, because the number was couldn't ever be low enough. When it was low, I wanted it lower. And if the number was high, I was like, well, that's it. My life is over. I might as well just never go out again. People are going to judge me. Now I'm like, you know what? I can start the morning a lot better, not having one more thing depress me.
Yeah, and I know you want people to learn this stuff from this book, because, I mean, it made me think about things, too. Like, man, we put ourselves under so much pressure, don't we?
Yeah, yeah. And it needs to be easier than that. I mean, yes, there are challenges in life, and yes, there's going to be difficulties. But we need to be softer and kinder to ourselves so that we can be softer and kinder to others. It starts from within. There's no getting around it.
And you talk about your journey, by the way, on the small screen. You know, 1975, cast as Barbara Cooper, the youngest of two daughters of a divorced mom on Norman Lear's latest sitcom, One Day at a Time, because he just had a massive string of hits. And by the way, still working and will be 100
amazing.
This July. Like, talk
it's
about
just amazing.
Talk about setting the bar.
I mean, yeah,
oh
right?
Oh, my gosh. But you literally grew up in front of the entire country, and Bonnie Franklin was like a second mom to you, but she told you at some point to be true to yourself. And that's something is really important to embrace, because it's not always easy to do that.
No, and when she told me that, it didn't sink in. It took years for me, and I'm still working through that, being true to myself. What does that mean? Who am I? I'm still trying to figure out who I am at 61. So I'm grateful for everything that she taught me, but I'm so thick-skulled. I just wish I'd learned lessons faster.
Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. And by the way, I know you're 61. I've seen you in interviews in the last week or two. You don't look 61, and I know it's not all about looks, but you look fabulous. Just to let you know, you look
you.
Great. Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Something I really learned from the book too is that, you know, everyone struggles, and I found this really poignant, of what to hang on to and what to discard from the past. And that includes a bunch of different things, habits, routines, and even material things. And I found myself over the last year, especially during the pandemic, boxing up a ton of stuff to donate, just throwing out stuff that is just maybe weighing me down on some level. But you really got at some point in your life go, you know, again, not just about material things, but just about things you've hung on to, you know, mentally. Like, maybe it's time to go.
Yeah. And I know because of, you know, the loss that I've suffered, I know many, many, many people have too, because COVID has been so devastating for all of us. And going through my parents' things and what they held on to and probably didn't even realize they had, I don't want Wolfie to go through that. I need to start getting rid of some stuff.
Yeah.
I remember when COVID first happened 2 years ago, I thought, well, this is the time I'm going to clean out my closet. I have plenty of time now. I can do this. I can clean these drawers out. I can donate a bunch of stuff. And I'm still, I don't even know what to let go of anymore. So I don't feel like I'm drowning in things but I know that I need to let things go.
Yeah.
And when I do, it does feel better. There's a weight that's taken off of us when we just clean the junk drawer in the kitchen, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. My 20-year-old made me try on a bunch of stuff in my closet that he's like, Dad, you got to get rid of stuff. I mean, really, you know, I'm trying on stuff. He's like, I'm trying on stuff. And he's like, do you really need those parachute pants? I mean, really, does that work for you anymore? No.
It's so true, right? I would phrase, I do. I'm like, well, I could fit in that again. Why? Why not just have something in my closet that I do fit in right now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no question. But that's where the phrase enough already comes into play.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, no question. You talk about writing a cookbook with your mother, and she gave you an envelope of recipes. You asked for one recipe, but, you know, most of her mothers, and this is true, and her grandmothers, you know, followed recipes to a T, but never made it their own. And discovering your own journey in all this, and I'm loving your show on the Food Network, you know, you decided to take some of these classic recipes and just make it so it tastes good to you. And it's pretty metaphorical. on how you need to take that advice and apply it to life itself. How do I take some of these things that, you know, might be good placeholders, but make it work for me?
Yeah, and I think everybody could use that advice, too. Making it work for yourself, but still keeping the history of it and the intention, and just make it work for you.
Before I let you go, I want to talk a little bit about Betty White, because she was on the board of the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago, a board that I chair, so I've gotten to know her a lot over the last 15 years. I mean, I used to have to keep, like, a piece of paper with dirty jokes on them, because I don't tell dirty jokes, but I had to keep up with her, I had to have, like, my little cheat sheet with me. And you know what I'm talking about.
She was amazing. She was just so amazing and so full of light and love and kindness and gratitude. And I loved that I got to spend 5 years working with her. It was magical. It really, really was. And I knew it at the time. I knew for sure, live this right now in the moment, Valerie, because this kind of stuff doesn't happen. Just enjoy yourself and be here fully. Just your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, everything. Just be here and take it all in.
Valerie Bertinelli. Her book is Enough Already, Learning to Love the Way I Am Today. Pick it up on Amazon or wherever books are sold. One Day at a Time airs weeknights on our sister station, Antenna TV, and you can catch Hot in Cleveland streaming at Paramount Plus. Thank you so much for sharing these stories with us today, Val. And I mean, really great insight on what you've learned so far in this journey. And I'm appreciative of your honesty, and hopefully it will help guide some others on their journey.
Oh, thank you so much. That was my intention.
Thanks, Val.
Thank you.
Valerie Bertinelli. News is next here on 720 WGN.